When I lived in New York State before entering seminary, I remember as I was growing in my faith, at a certain point, kind of a switch kind of being flipped inside of me about the reality of the Mass, about the Eucharistic prayer, about what is really happening there. I began to perceive, and I love that, how this really is indeed this encounter with Jesus Christ. It had always been that, but so often maybe I did not see that, did not perceive that. My heart was not open to that. But this switch was getting flipped, and I could start to understand this incredible encounter with the Lord that is there. And then even further than with Jesus, I turned to God the Father in Mass. And in this, who am I turning to? I'm turning to the one who is being itself, the one who is meaning itself, the author, the goal of every good desire. This is the one who I encounter, who I am led to, and who I give my life again to, as he gives his life and goodness to me. And how I wish, you know, that this is something that all people would be able to experience and to realize the truth of what is happening here, the power of that, the grace, the glory. And so we have this Eucharistic revival that is happening this year, and one thing we're doing at our parish is this Ars Celebrandi, the art of celebrating the Mass, which, of course, is something that seminarians are taught, deacon candidates are taught as well for their service at the altar, but really, indeed, that's something for all the faithful in their own way, in their own participation in the liturgy, to celebrate well and with understanding, that engages not only exteriorly, but to the depths of the heart. And so this month we're looking at how to do that in the liturgy of the Eucharist. And now, of course, there will be classes that we offer about that where this can be expounded upon much more in all the different dimensions of that. But today, for this homily, I want to focus in particular on the Eucharistic prayer itself and how to enter into that. Fundamentally, the art of celebrating that for the faithful is to pray with the prayer, to make that prayer indeed your own, and to enter into what that prayer is and what is being offered and asked. And really, it's interesting, the beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, which happens with this preface where there's this dialogue where the priest says, you know, lift up your hearts. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And the people respond. Those three things of the preface dialogue, in a way, guide us into how to enter into praying well with the priest, the Eucharistic prayer. You know, the Lord be with you. And that's not only an invocation that the Lord may be with us, but an indication, indeed, how the Lord truly is with us in the consecration, in the Eucharist. The Lord is with us, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And that's the anchor of our worship, of our Mass. The Lord be with you. And then lift up your hearts. That's such an important part of praying the Eucharistic prayer, to join our hearts with the prayer being offered up. And then that third invocation, let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And that's truly the intention of that Eucharistic prayer. The word Eucharist, coming from Eucharistein, to give thanks. And so we not only receive and praise, we also give thanks. So the art of celebrating, especially that making the prayer your own, is so important. Allowing that prayer to really enter your heart, and your heart to give a deep assent to what is being prayed. Letting the priests, the church's words to God, really become your words to God. And letting Jesus' words in that prayer also become words to you. There's many ways to pray and enter into this Eucharistic prayer, but I think making the words of the prayer your own is such an important one. And so what is happening in the liturgy of the Eucharist? If if the liturgy of the word, as we talked about last month, is this kind of this dialogue between God and his church, you know, with the readings, the Lord addressing us in those, our responses, the psalm, this dialogue that happens, in a sense, in this part, this half of the Mass, things kind of escalate to now being this exchange indeed of love and of life that happens here. So let me enter more into that Eucharistic prayer and look maybe especially at the consecration, those very special words of the Eucharistic prayer, which if you were to look at the red book, the missal that we use, they're like in bigger print. They're in bold print. And there's even in the red rubrics, the instructions, you know, telling the priest, like, slow down, give these words, you know, the dignity that they deserve, you know. And so looking at these words of consecration, to see that in that consecration, there's this beautiful encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, and as you hear the words of Jesus offered up in the Eucharistic prayer, to ponder that, the reality of, he doesn't just simply say, this is my body, it's my body, you know, given up for you. And so this consecration brings forward this great love of our Lord Jesus, his pouring of himself out, as St. Paul described in our beautiful second reading, that hymn, the Greek word kenosis, a pouring out that Jesus does for our salvation. And we encounter that pouring out, that choice, that laying down his life for us every time those words are prayed. And so as we're hearing these, to ponder him saying those at the Last Supper, realizing those on the cross and the way that those are so intimately linked together, and then thinking about how he is saying this, my body given up for you, not only the disciples who are with him at the time, not only the church, but really like for me and for each of you, and of his thought of me at the Last Supper as he died upon the cross. And now these words convey this incredible reality of Christ's love as he becomes truly present with us. And so all those moments of his work of salvation, the Last Supper, his passion, this great sacrifice on the cross, these become really present because Jesus himself is really present and loving us through all of that. And so the art of celebrating is to really receive those words from the Lord, to really call to mind, to bring to mind in this kind of sacred remembrance, you know, this consecration that Christ made in the Last Supper, on the cross, and all for us, and to recognize and receive that love. And then within that consecration, then being with Jesus, you know, I now turn with him in devotion to God the Father. Because the entire Eucharistic prayer is a prayer addressed to God the Father. And we don't do that simply on our own, but with Jesus, who is our high priest. And so we turn towards God the Father, the one who loved me even before he formed me in my mother's womb. This great Holy One, this infinite and immortal and eternal God. And he is the one to whom I turn, and how he has given his Son to me. And so the art of celebrating then the Eucharistic prayer kind of with Jesus then is this giving of myself back to God the Father through that offering of Christ. You know, offer my little self. The church has her offering that is all joined then and taken up by Jesus' perfect, total atoning sacrifice of himself for the world and to his Father. And so my art of celebrating that is gratitude and making a return, and is, Father, I love you. What is your will? I want to do it. Like what the Son eventually came to in the gospel. And that loving the Father and giving him gratitude and thanks reaches its final point at the close of the Eucharistic prayer, at the end of it, where the priest says these words, You know, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. How? Through, with, and in him. The hymn's Jesus, by the way. Through, with, and in Jesus. All glory and honor is yours. And you make that your own prayer, as you've made it in your heart throughout, by making it your prayer out loud through the amen that seals then the close of the Eucharistic prayer. That amen, a word that passed the lips of Jesus, a word that the very first Christians give testimony to in their worship, a word that we are blessed to use today. So there's this incredible exchange of life that happens in the Eucharistic prayer itself. And then that exchange then overflows out beyond us. And so there are petitions, prayer petitions in the Eucharistic prayer as well. In that first Eucharistic prayer, that they kind of flank on both before and after the consecration, and the other Eucharistic prayers that they follow after the consecration. And these are petitions for the church, for the world, for the dead. And it isn't, I think, in the Ars Celebrandi, just, okay, kind of, yeah, the priest has to say those things, remember those things. But no, for me to care about those, to choose those good things that the church is praying for those people, to care about those because I am a son, a daughter who cares about my Father's vineyard, which is the church, and drawing the world into that vineyard, into that church. And so I give my assent, and my desire is starting to be formed by what the Lord's desires are. And so we have in the liturgy of the Eucharist this incredible, this great exchange of life and love that we are plunged into. That entire drama that St. Paul describes, the emptying and the exaltation. We're entering into this incredible exchange of love between Father and Son that the Holy Spirit draws me into, and the Holy Spirit indeed is. And the reverence I have for the liturgy is not simply from a sense of propriety, keeping rules, things like that, but it's because of the great charity love of God that I've been given, and for that great charity love of God and for all that he has done. What St. Paul described when he first wrote to the Philippians, that may there be these things among them, encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy. My brothers and sisters, all of those things are right there in the Eucharistic prayer. May we join our hearts and our minds to that reality, to give thanksgiving and praise to God, to enter into that great sacrifice and to receive from the abundance of Christ's salvation, that we can be always more deeply formed and configured to Christ, who is our peace and our life. And so this month we'll be having then a deeper dive, you know, this being just a taste of that, of delving more deeply into the art of celebrating the liturgy of the Eucharist. And I encourage you to come to one of these two sessions. The first one is on Friday, October 20th from 10 until 11:30 a.m. So we have a Friday morning one for people who aren't too excited about traveling in the evening. But then on Tuesday, October 24th, we have a second one from 7 until 8:30 p.m. in the evening for people who are at school, at work during the day. Join us for one of these to be able to enter more deeply into how we lift up our hearts to the Lord, of how it is right to give him thanks and praise, to enter into this reality, this mystery, which indeed is the most important thing of our lives.